book to episode 30. Don't listen to the description, folks. Just right here. That's a real number. Divided by Werewolves, the 100% free show. I need to point that out because I feel like that gives me a level of I can just deny all accountability for mistakes like naming the show incorrectly on the feed. Anyway, I'm here. Mitch is here. And we are... Tonight is Destiny 2 night. It is the first day, unless you're in the UK, that has been available. Although, I guess it was available as of 11 o'clock last night. That's when it finally unlocked an hour. I got a call from GameStop. He didn't even... Motherfucker, he must have had like 100 of these calls. He didn't even say who he was. The phone rang. I said, hello? Hello? He's like, is this Brandon? I ain't going to even pronounce your name. And I went, yes. And he goes, you are Destiny 2? And I went, I didn't even think. I was like, hell yeah, Destiny 2? He's like, you be here at 11. I was like, peace. I was like, wait a minute. I don't even know who that was. Like, that guy's probably like, all right, we're going to rob the house at 11.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Joke's on him. I switched my pre-order to digital. No, here's the sad part. So when I originally went to buy Destiny 2, I had thought to myself, you know what, you should just get a digital, because there are plenty of times when you had Destiny and you were just kind of like, well, maybe I'll just fuck around, do some patrols, get some whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not consumables, but like, you know, spin metal, shit like that. And I was like, I don't want to have to go first world problems. I don't have to go downstairs, pop the disc out, whatever. So I'd said to myself, when I get Destiny 2, I'll just get it digital because I'm never going to trade the game in.
Right.
And then I didn't. And it never even occurred to me. I went in, put my money down, physical copy, didn't even think about it. So then, like you and I were talking about before, I took a half day today to play it. But I had a meeting at my son's school. I had to leave here at like 3:15, and I knew I had some other shit to do. I was like, I'm not going to get started playing until like noon. And this is the sad part. I looked up ahead of time, saw there was a 6.8 gig day one patch. And I was like, there is no fucking way the PS4 is going to download a 6.8 gig patch in 3 hours. It is just not – I don't care what internet connection speed you have. The PS4 is not going to do that. Like, no way, no how. So I was like, fuck. So then I was like, oh, shit. I'll switch it to digital. It can spend 6 months downloading the like the pre-unlocked version.
Yeah.
And we'll be ready to go. And that's what I did.
40-something gigs, maybe. I can't remember.
I don't know why. I don't know what it is about, and it's both consoles. I don't know what it is about the Xbox and the PS4 where they don't, like, their ability to download things is not the same as, like, my laptop.
Right.
And they're both, they're not on Wi-Fi. They're connected to the network, but they're like, 6.5 gigs. Okay, well, we'll see you in a week and a half. Meanwhile, the laptop's like, I'm done. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so enough about me. Before we get started, we have some very important horror, doc terror-related news that Mitch is going to talk to y'all about.
Yes. Yeah, this week. It actually started Sunday, but this week, in honor of James, we have brought back Italian Horror Week. This is probably, I was trying to think of it. I think this is probably how he and I came to know of each other, actually, because this guy, like, I knew almost nothing about Italian horror. And when I started to, you know, kind of try to educate myself, almost everywhere I went, somebody or in some fashion, like, James Harris's name was somewhere.
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, well, he obviously knows what he's doing. And so I checked his blog out, and every year about this time, he does Italian Horror Week, and he has he does giveaways, he does all these things. And so I was like, wow, this guy's like, he knows his shit. And so I kind of think that's how we got to be friends. But, you know, as we talked about on another episode, James unfortunately passed away from cancer. And, so myself and then a few other people, decided to, with the blessing of his wife, we decided to keep it going. And so my buddy Sean is doing most of the posting. He got the info on how to log into James' website. And so we've got, you know, reviews, retrospectives, this little pieces. There's art. But the most important thing, the reason why I kind of want to bring this up, not to, you know, just to be like, hey, we're doing this, look at us, is there are giveaways. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty, they're decent. Like they're actually really, you know, people loved James Harris. And so everybody is so eager to help and donate things. And so we've got four posted so far. One of them is like a $50, Fright Rags gift certificate.
Oh shit.
Yeah, man. Like it's legit stuff, man. There's Ivan Press, mm-hmm. who's doing the Fulci comics. They donated issues 2 through 5 of that series, and those comics are like $20 a pop,
right?
Because, you know, they're self published, all that good shit, but they're loaded with extra stuff, and they're really solid books. They would have done a one, but it sold out, so okay. They didn't have a one to include. There's like Arrow Blu-rays, just all kind of stuff. But the website's docterror.com,
mm-hmm.
and all you have to do to enter the giveaway is share. They're posted in like blog post format, whatever. But you just share the posts on Twitter or Facebook, and you use the hashtag Italian Horror Week and hashtag IHW giveaway and whatever number it is. There's four so far, like I said. So, but yeah, it ends. At the end of the week, so you know you got half a week left, and I have a post coming up. I don't know when Sean's going to post mine, but I watched Nightmare City for the first time.
I don't think I know that one.
If you haven't treated yourself to 1981's Nightmare City,
because I know like Suspiria and the modern, doesn't the modern like zombie genre, like, didn't it start with Italian horror movies?
Sort of. So, of course, Romero is credited as Godfather of the Zombie, but, right. You know, like every, but immediately following Night and especially Dawn, it seems like other countries began to do Me Too films, like, well, sort of.
That,
yeah, me, I could
be. Zombie or something like that? Wasn't there an Italian?
Yeah. Fulci Zombie. Yeah. It was.
That's it.
Yeah. It's, I don't, you have, man. If James were here, he could break it down for you. Unfortunately, I can't. I know that it was somehow something about he intended it for it to be a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, but never asked anybody or some shit like that. With
he's like, I'm going to make my own. Fuck it.
Yeah, and I'm not 100% on that, so don't quote me on that. But I've read this story before, but it's something in that vein. But yeah, it's going to be a fun week. It has been a fun week. So I'm looking forward to the rest of it. And real quick,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I think it's great that you guys are doing that for James and keeping his memory alive and kind of keeping, you know, what he meant to the community, you know, alive.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic. I think you guys deserve a lot of credit. I mean, clearly he meant a lot to you, but you know, we say that about people, and then when they go, we don't really show it. And I think it's fantastic,
right,
that you guys are doing this.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yeah, like, you know, it's. I said, man, it's amazing how many people's lives that dude touched just through the internet, and so in a lot of cases, in my case, you know, like, I never met him.
Right, and through horror movies, you know. People,
yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I think that's. I wonder how much of that is a certain. There's a certain genre, you know, like, you don't see that with more like more mainstream accepted genre. There's not people that are like there's no, is there a Doc Terror of action movies, or because they're just so kind of mainstream that they don't really need,
right,
someone to kind of champion them to the same degree.
Right. Right. And they're
kind of,
you know,
bring community together.
There could be, but you know, it's not, you know, and I like action movies, but it's not, to me, they're just, you know, they're entertaining, but it's not something that I'm really passionate about, or, you know,
right,
that I actively seek out the obscure and this and that like I do the horror stuff. So,
right. Well, I can say, I mean, I have benefited from being friends with you in a number of ways, but one of which has definitely been horror movies. Like, I loved horror movies as a kid, and I got away from them as an adult, and you know, being friends with you just rekindled that love in me, and I mean, it is like, I love it. I'm scrolling through Netflix, baby, and I'm like, well, that looks like shit, but I bet Mitch is watching, so fuck yeah, I'm watching it. Goddamn right, let's do this. So, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, in the same way that James kind of did that for you, I mean, you've definitely done that for me. Like, and I'm not exaggerating. That's no joke. Like, I feel like, you know, the young me reading that copy of Fangoria that somehow my mom let me buy.
Oh man, I'm happy to hear that. That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
So once more, what are the posts and the before you?
So it's everything's like, of course, you follow me on Twitter. You've been seeing this shit nonstop, but it's everything's at docterror.com. Okay. It's just like it sounds, docterror.com. And it's all there, you know, on the front page, so it's not hard to find. And like I said, all the stuff's worth winning, man. It's good stuff.
Right. Cool. Very good. Well, speaking of horror movies, we got a couple to talk about. I want to do that first before we talk about Destiny, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Okay.
I do want to do one more thing before we get into regular stuff. So, as with James, unfortunately, a friend of mine passed away last week, Adrian Del Rio, who I've known probably for, God, probably 4 or 5 years now. And again, we met the same way, just running in the circles on horror circles on Facebook and whatnot. And I know she had heart problems before, but like she never really got into it that, you know, deep, obviously, on the social media. But anyway, she passed away in her sleep.
I'm sorry.
Last week. Yeah. And, man, we were pretty tight. We, we did a lot of, and apparently she did not just me, but like a lot of people, but she did a lot of like private messaging, just shooting shit and this and that. And we helped each other get, contacts for people to do screeners and shit like that. Cause, you know, I ran a small blog and she ran a small website and we kind of were like, hey, I got this contact and this dude's sending me this. You might want to hit him up, whatever. And so that's kind of how we became friends. But her girlfriend is doing this thing that she wants everybody to do. If you feel like it, you don't have to, obviously. But I just want to put it out there just in case somebody may want to. Or if somebody may know her who, you know, doesn't know what happened, this and that. But, you know, It is coming out this weekend. And she was really looking forward to that, as we all are. And so her girlfriend, Rachel, came up with the idea of maybe – everybody that, you know, wanted to do something for her, get a red balloon and take it with you and let it go before you go in the theater and take a picture if you feel like it and put it on social media with the hashtag We Float With You. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully intending to do that. And so I just wanted to be like, well, hey, just in case, because, you know, she was a really good person and it's worth doing if you, you know, just to honor her memory.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Yep. I think that's great. Well, speaking of it, that's a good segue. So obviously it hasn't come out yet, but I'm very, very excited to hear that reviews were good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, some of them I've read, they're like, it's not – like, I read one that was like, it's basically Stranger Things as a movie, and I'm like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
and then I've read some other stuff that they said they just felt like it took a little – it took a little while for Pennywise to kind of be as much of a fixture as you would expect him to be. And again, fine with that too.
Have they read the book?
Well, I think that's one of the reviews. It's funny because you can tell when you read the reviews, like maybe who hasn't read the book and who has.
Right.
I think part of the, I don't know if, because the fact that they're like splitting the movie in half, if that has anything to do with it. But like one of the reviews I read, they're like, you know, they mentioned the town of Derry and they're just like, you know, which bad stuff seems to happen. I'm like, oh, okay. that sentence right there gives me the proper frame of reference for this review. Not to say that you're not qualified to determine whether the movie's any good, but if you're just like, Derry seems like a weird place, you know, I'm like, okay, you don't have the history down. Like, Derry is the worst of all the worst places.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was kind of glad glad to hear that it was good, because, you know, we talked about before hoping that the Dark Tower was good and then kind of being disappointed. I still haven't seen it, but, you know, I'll see it at some point, but, you know. This one, and it's funny because I was talking to my wife about it, you know, and I was reading a review, I was telling her about the reviews and saying how, you know, they said that it wasn't like as scary as you would expect it to be. And I said, that's good, because this book legitimately scared the ever living shit out of me, like more than any other book I have ever read.
Same here.
Prior or since. So I don't know if I could be that scared in a movie theater. Like, I'm fine with it not being that scary, because if it is that scary, I will shit my pants right there in the theater, and I don't want to do that. So
yeah, that's not a good time.
Speaking somewhat of horror movies, so we have two that we want to talk about. First is the Adam Wingard adaptation of Death Note, which is on Netflix, and then also It Comes at Night, and I forget, Joel Edgerton, is that the guy's name? I forget the guy's name who did it.
Yes, okay. That sounds right.
Yeah. So, okay, so Death Note, first and foremost, were you familiar at all with either the manga, however you say that? Or the anime that it was based off of?
I can tell you with 1,000% honesty that my familiarity with Death Note prior to watching the movie is that I knew there was something called Death Note that existed. I didn't even know I didn't even know that all it was he wrote the names in the book and they died. I didn't even know that. I just knew there was something called Death Note.
Okay, me too. My interest and involvement in Death Note ended and began with Adam Wingard. Like,
same.
Full stop. Like, if it had been anybody else other than Adam Wingard, I probably wouldn't have watched it. I wouldn't have given a shit.
Maybe for Willem Dafoe. Maybe if there was nothing else on.
That's
or it
true.
Was a,
That's true.
A dry couple of weeks. I mean, you know, maybe for Dafoe, but yeah, mostly Wingard.
And you, based on I think your comments on Twitter, I think you liked it more than I did.
Yeah.
So
that seems to be the general consensus.
But I think part of that. So my biggest problem with the movie was that I felt like it was at the same time incorporating aspects of the anime and the manga. I don't know how do you say that? That's like
manga.
GIF. Manga? Okay.
Yeah.
It was incorporating elements of the manga, which had a very, you know, obviously had Japanese influences.
Right.
But it wasn't fully embracing them, so it just felt weird. Like, the perfect example for me is when they were talking about, first of all, the detective that is investigating. So in a nutshell, Death Note is a story of this high school student named Light, who he gets given this book by, like, the god of death, I guess is what he is, and I think I forget the guy's name, the death god's name. He's played by Willem Dafoe, who did a great job, and he basically tells him, hey, there's rules, but for the most part, you write a name in the book, you kind of write how they're going to die, you can influence them up until their death, and then they die. Now, you can't do something like if they're sitting on a toilet, they can't die from a shark attack. That was the example he gave. You know, there's rules around it. You write my name in here, you ain't going to get too far. But for the most part, you write somebody's name, you say how they're going to die and what's going to happen up until that point, and that shit's going to happen. And Light is like, okay. And he gets together with his girlfriend, who is in The Leftovers, and she was also in the last Shane Black movie, which name I can't remember, even though it was pretty good. They decide to start, like, killing criminals and stuff, because Light's dad is a cop, and his mom was, like, killed by some mobster, and when he, like, ran her over with his car or something. And then there's this detective named L, who's, like, this black guy. He was in Get Out. He was the guy who was kidnapped at the very beginning of the movie, and then he had the old man fedora on at the dinner party.
No, that was him?
Yeah, it was him. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, and he wears, like, the hood with the black mask over his face. I was covering my face, and I was like, nobody can hear me. and this guy's investigating Light's crimes, right? So it was very – so I felt like the concept itself I thought was pretty cool. But it seemed like Wingard didn't really seem to me, it didn't, to me, it didn't feel like he knew what he wanted to do. Did he want to pay homage to the source material and be somewhat beholden to it?
Right.
Or did he want to not care? Perfect example is at one point, nobody knows who Light is. So, like, or sorry, L is a detective. Nobody knows who L is. And because they don't know who he is and they don't know his name, Light can't write his name in the book for the purpose of influencing him. And this, so Light's father is a cop and he's working with L to find out who is killing all these criminals. And this other guy who works with L is said, oh, he was an orphan. And so he was put in this academy that just trains detectives. And I was like, that is some seriously Japanese shit right there. Like that whole idea that like, he was an orphan and he's put in this crazy ass super secret academy that trains detectives. Like that is not a Western plot development. That is totally Japanese and that's fine. But yet then there were other parts of the movie that I felt like they were just kind of like trying to get through without thinking of how it actually like affected the plot and the pacing and things like that.
Absolutely.
And my biggest thought when I was done with it was like, particularly after this and Blair Witch, like I just really want Adam Wingard to go back to making something like the next Kong versus Godzilla, like something a little more, I don't want to say original, but something where he doesn't necessarily feel, because like Kong versus Godzilla, that right there, that is all you need to be beholden to right there.
Right.
You have
right.
Kong, you have Godzilla. In Skull Island, they made Kong huge so he can go toe to toe with Godzilla.
Yep.
However the fuck it is you want to get these cats together, get them together. There's no backstory. Yeah. There's no mythology. There's nothing. There's just big ape, fire-breathing monster, whatever, reptile, have them go at it.
Yeah.
And between this movie and Blair Witch, I was like, I just want to see this cat kind of get back to shit where he can be him, and he can kind of do what he wants and not be beholden to something else.
Yeah, because I feel like he was on a pretty big momentum swing. Like, he was becoming a name, and then that's how he got these gigs. And, I don't know, man, the reception from the general public hasn't been pleasant or you know positive for the last two. So I'm with you, man. I want to see him get back to, you know, getting his name back up there again.
And I don't think Death Note on it. I mean, my biggest problem with Death Note, aside from the Japanese thing that I just mentioned, is I just and maybe like a 10-minute scene. It's a pretty short movie. It's like an hour and 29, hour and 30. 10 minutes, 5 minutes, where Light and his girlfriend just take a minute and go, hey, what are we doing here? Like, what kind of responsibility do we have? We have this book, and we can essentially write. And, I mean, when we say that, like, it influences, like, I mean, he wrote these, like, long, complicated things that people would do prior to dying.
Yeah.
And just to feel like they felt like they had a bit of an understanding as to what they were doing, and it wasn't just, well, let's kill some criminals.
Yeah,
because there were parts of the movie that I liked. I know some people didn't like Light himself because apparently in the comics and the movie in the anime he's kind of a bit of a sociopath. So like he doesn't really he just kind of looks at things more black and white. And
yeah, like I read that he's supposedly like an evil genius almost.
Yeah, and I like the fact that in this movie he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of like a fucked up teenager. He's just like, right. Oh, shit. Like, I've seen people being bullied. You know, my mom was taken from me from some fucking mob asshole. Like, you can see why he would be tempted to use something like that. But then he goes, and they're just killing off all these criminals, and you don't really ever get the feeling that he's ever stopped to go, well, wait a minute, like, what are we doing? What kind of responsibility do we have? And that only happens when his girlfriend is like, hey, we need to do whatever we can to make sure we can keep doing what we're doing. And at that point, it just felt like so rushed to get to the end.
Yeah,
that was my issue. I feel like the movie had enough time to breathe.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thing. I think that the problem, first of all, a lot of the flack that he's getting is from the fans, and there was no way that even if it was a 2 hour or 2.5 hour movie, you're going to be able to adapt 67 episodes of an anime and make everybody happy, right? So I give him a pass somewhat for that, because they weren't going to be happy one way or the other, regardless of who did it. But I'm with you. The pacing was weird, and but some of it, man, I think, like you said, it's just a very Japanese thing, and so I think there's a challenge with trying to adapt something that, you know, and have it make sense over here, but still be appealing to fans or you know, people who this is their kind of thing. Yeah. And so, like, I felt like it was the same thing that with Pacific Rim, with Del Toro, man. Everybody, like, was like, oh, the acting's weird and the dialogue was weird and whatever. And I was like, well, I kind of felt like that was intentional.
Yes.
You know, I think, like, if you're trying to, you know, get as, like, please as many people as you can. You're not going to please everybody, but let's try to give a little something to everyone who, you know, likes this type of thing. And, you know, I feel like I don't think he missed the mark as bad as people act like he did. You know, I thought Ryuk was great, and everybody says that. Everybody's like, oh, you know, Willem Dafoe was the shit, or and he's just a voice, obviously. But everybody's like, oh, he was perfect. Yeah. You know, people hated Light because he wasn't. But I'm thinking, you know,
it wasn't a Light that they knew.
Right, but this is the American version of Light. And honestly, over here, you know, if you put one of our teenagers put that book in their hands, this is exactly how it goes down, man. This is not a Japanese kid. Like, you know.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't mind. The only thing was, like you said, it's pacing, right? So he's like, he gets the book. He doesn't want to do it, doesn't whatever, writes the first one down, and then we get some Final Destination shit happening. And that's kind of what I was worried about.
That's how they did it, that it was this, you know, kind of, you know, Rube Goldberg machine factory thing. Yeah, I thought that was great.
I like that. I just didn't want the whole movie to be that. So, like, I was like, all right, so let's see what we're getting into here. And then thankfully it doesn't do that. It goes off. But how Light, you know, was like, all right, that was cool. I'll do that to this person who killed my mom. And then, like, the next day, he's telling this girl, like, you probably don't want to just advertise that.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, no, it's right here. Look, it's in my book bag. Let's write some shit down. And I was like, hey, bro, you might want to pump the brakes, because you don't even know this girl that well. I mean, like.
Right. And then turns out she's like, I'm crazier than you are.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, you know, I was entertained by it. The ending I didn't particularly love, but whatever. And apparently the ending is almost a complete 180 from the anime. I don't know. I'm never going to watch 67. Yes, I heard lots of people bitch about that too. So I don't know. L didn't bother me. The main complaints were Light, L, and the ending. So, you know,
I think that's one of the benefits that you and I have, like, without ever watching the source material. And most of the people who are going to be watching it on Netflix have not watched the source material.
Even though it's there, it's on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah. I looked it up. It's there.
That's funny. I mean, I'm all for it. Like, if you want to throw a ton of money at Adam Wingard or any, you know, whatever, horror-type movie person, and you want to have them make movies exclusive to Netflix, I'm fucking all for it.
Yep.
You know, I'm glad. If that reason alone was a reason for me to watch it, was just the fact that, hey, if it gets this guy more gigs, gets him, you know, more exclusive type of thing, then I'm all for it. But I wouldn't say that it was like a, you know, total. The only thing for me when I went to watch it on Netflix, the audio and the video was totally out of sync to the point where, like, as it went on, it would just get worse and worse.
Yeah, that sucks. I hate that when that happens.
And it's the only thing I've ever seen on Netflix where that's actually happened.
Huh.
Which is weird, because I thought, all right, so I kind of, you know, played some other stuff and it didn't happen that, but anyway. You know, and it's tough because I went into it and I was like, okay, good. I was glad that I hadn't seen
same here.
The source material, because I was like, I don't want to have to try and decide how faithful this is. I want to watch an Adam Wingard movie and I want to see if I like it.
Yep.
And I don't think it was, you know, I think that most of the reviews that I read, I think this probably didn't help. Most of the reviews that I read prior to watching it were people who had familiarity with the source material.
Oh, yeah.
I think
same
that
here.
Was probably a mistake. I try not to read reviews of things before I watch them if I can avoid it, because, you know, you don't want somebody else's thoughts kind of rattling around in there while you're coming to a decision. But sometimes it's unavoidable.
Yeah, this one kind of caught fire. And the thing is, I don't actually read like the reviews. Like I'll see the headline and I might read the first couple of lines, but I always make myself stop.
Yeah. All right. So the next one was It Comes at Night, which came out last year. I guess it was the beginning of this year.
No, this is true.
Okay. Joel Edgerton. So he's like an indie. I don't know if horror movie is kind of a bit of a stretch, I think, based on his previous material. He did this movie called Krisha. And it was about this woman who kind of comes back to her family's house at Thanksgiving, and all this shit comes out in terms of, like, her relationship with her kids, and the fact that she had, like, been a drug addict or alcoholic, whatever, and it was kind of... So Joel Edgerton writes some very personal stuff. Like, that thing, like, that movie, Krisha, he, like, cast his aunt. Like, his aunt was Krisha, and it had to do a lot with some shit that happened in his family. And It Comes at Night is... He wrote right after, like, 3-4 months after his dad passed away. And it is a... We have to assume it's post-apocalyptic, although we don't really see too much of the outside world.
Right.
It has to do with a man and his wife and their son who are holed up in this house because everybody outside is sick, and they come across a man who breaks into their house not knowing they're living there. And has said, you know, basically, he's got a wife and a kid, and says, hey, you know, I'm just trying to get some food, some water for them. And this guy and his family decide to take this other guy in, and then bad stuff starts to happen. I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put it right out there. And it very much uses atmosphere and a lack of understanding of what's actually happening to be the real horror than it does straight up, like, okay, I know what this guy's motivations are, or I know what
this. Exactly. It is brilliant, fucking masterful in that.
Yeah.
Like, because you don't know. You know what I mean? God. At one point, it had me wondering if anybody was even sick at all. Like,
Me too. Like, holy shit, I'm glad you said that. Because at one point, I was like, is no one sick? Like, we saw at the beginning, like, that guy was definitely had some problems.
Right,
but maybe nobody's sick.
Yeah.
I am glad you said that, because I thought I was the only fucking one.
No, man. Like, it had me asking all kind of questions.
Yeah. And it's just this, I mean, it is not a horror movie in a typical sense where there's, like, jump scares and monsters. It very much feeds off of the paranoia but yet at the same time, it's not a typical post-apocalyptic, like, you know, Walking Dead where, you know, the true monsters are humans, you know, that kind of heavy-handed treatment.
Right.
I mean, these are people that they want to trust each other. You know, they're not like fighting with one another. They're just little things come out though, over the course of conversations where you're like, okay, is that guy telling the whole truth? Are we getting the whole story here? And then even when they get to the point where they don't trust each other, it's still very amicable, right?
Yeah,
They're just like, okay, you're going to take some food and some water. You're going to go in your room. You're just going to hang out there for a couple days.
Yep.
We're going to go in our room. We're going to hang out for a couple days. You know, it's not like a, you know, Walking Dead where Rick's like fucking shooting guys in the town square or whatever.
Right.
but the whole time you just, between the music and that atmosphere and the red door, that fucking red door,
which
I mean, holy shit, not since like fucking The Shining where you would see whatever it was, 213 or whatever it was, you see that door has a door held so much like significance and malice in a movie. And it was just, it was great. It was great.
I agree.
When I got done watching it, I was like, I need to watch this again.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to. I want the Blu-ray like now. I want to watch it again. I want all the bonus features. Like, I just want to. I just want to watch it again. We were wrong though. Edgerton is the dad of the.
Oh, okay.
Trey Edward Schultz.
Trey Edward Schultz. That's right. Yeah, and he was in. Have you watched Krisha?
No, like I didn't know about that until I mentioned to you that this was really fucking good or whatever, and then you said, well, I liked his last movie. I was like, shit, I need to find that.
He's in that. So in Kreisha, Trey Edward Schultz plays Kreisha's son.
Okay.
And he wrote that because his dad, I guess, was like an addict, either alcohol or drugs, and he wrote that Kreisha kind of based on an experience he had with his father. Kind of basically coming back and like asking forgiveness for things that he had done. And so he cast like his family, and then he's in it too. But okay. I swear, I got to look this up, because I swear the guy who plays, what's his name, Will?
Yeah.
Is that the guy? I think he was in I think he looked really familiar to me. He looks like the guy who is on The Expanse, the sci-fi show. On Sci-Fi.
I gotcha.
But I just, you know, there's so many, and I mean, you could tell it was low budget because they made, they got a tremendous amount of money out of just by the setting, small cast, you know, this really.
Yeah, I think there's only two other people that show up other than maybe three?
No, there's the main guy, his wife, and Travis, their kid. So that's three.
Right.
And then the...
No, I mean, other than the two families. I think there's two...
Other than the two families...
Two other characters?
The guy at the beginning. Well, then the dog. And then the guy they find along the way.
Yeah. But yeah, and then mostly one location. Almost the whole thing is at least centered around the house or near the house. But man, just Jesus. It's tension, like... on a masterful level for me.
Right. And that's the thing that I loved about it is that it earns all that tension because you don't know that he doesn't say, you know, what is happening outside. You know, the people are sick,
right.
But you don't know like what caused it. You don't know what the state of the world is outside. And then you don't know really anything about his family. You don't know anything about the family he takes in. And then they have a right to be wary of each other, but at the same time, they still want to be welcoming and human towards one another.
And then
things come out, like that conversation he had with Will, where he's like, I thought you said, you know, he's like, yeah, I was an only child, and he's like, wait, I thought you said it was your brother. And then you're like, oh, shit, is he lying?
Or
is it just a thing, like a simple thing? Like, you're just having a conversation with somebody, oh, yeah, shit, no, he's my brother-in-law, but I call him my brother.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, oh, fuck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know, man. The movie fucked with my head, like, with little shit like that the whole time. And, good God, credit the performances, because if you didn't give a shit about these people, this movie does not work.
Exactly.
If it's not written and acted in such a way that you become invested in these characters almost from the very beginning, which I did, it does not work. And the fact that it works so fucking well is just such a credit to everybody's performance and the writer was – writer director manages everybody's like on their A game in this.
And I read an interview with Troy Edward Schultz, and he basically said, like, it's open ended for a purpose. Like, I'm not going to tell you what it means. Like, I'm not going to tell you what the red door means, but it is meant to be somewhat open ended. I didn't want to answer these questions for you, because that's where the tension and the terror comes from, is not knowing, you know, did this guy do the right thing? Did he treat these people correctly? Like, what, you know? So it was fucking great.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I highly recommend, if you watch Kreisha, it's funny because I've heard Kreisha mentioned as a horror movie, and it is not at all.
Right.
However, I will say the ending of it threw me for a loop.
Okay.
Because similarly to It Comes at Night, it does use some tricks to make you as a viewer question what you had seen before and whether you had seen things as they really were or one person's interpretation.
I like
that. That was great. Yeah, and that was great. So, and you know what? This movie reminds me a lot of Blue Ruin.
Yeah.
It's just this kind of, like, not dirty, but just like... It's not slick. It's not glossy. It's like when you had mentioned before when you were watching me stream Uncharted Lost Legacy, and you were like, you know, basically like, we would die. Like, like if we were in that situation, yeah. It'd be yeah. like, okay, see ya. You know, like...
Yeah. It's been real, Brandon.
Right. Like Blue Ruin reminds me of the type of movie where if a normal person thought up a revenge plot and then went
yes,
to carry it out.
Exactly. It's like it's like if you or I thought we were Charles Bronson. Like, that's exactly how it would go.
You know, how it would go. And this movie, too, I get the same feel. It's like,
yeah.
It's not this kind of slick. Not to say that Walking Dead is slick, but I mean, come on. Like, I think it's safe to say that nobody in an actual zombie apocalypse would probably survive anywhere nearly as long as anybody.
Right. Yeah. Right.
In The Walking Dead. And this movie felt more like what would happen if real people found themselves in a situation where
yes.
they didn't know who else could be trusted, and they're trying to protect their family, yet at the same time hold on to their humanity because they know what it would mean to lose it.
Right. You know, and that comes through at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. If you think about how Will finds them and his wife's like, it could be the smoke from the fire.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even that. How dumb is that? You're setting off signal fires in the fucking yard.
Right, right.
But you don't think yeah. about that because you just like, you know, what do you do with a contaminant or something like that? You burn mm-hmm. that shit, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Extremely well done. Highly recommend folks check it out.
Yep.
All right. So last but certainly not least. So before we get into it real quick, I haven't finished putting the YouTube videos up, but Uncharted Lost Legacy, totally worth it.
Yep.
If you've played Uncharted 4, totally worth it. If you haven't played Uncharted 4, still worth it. My yeah. only complaint about it, aside from my incessant whining about the combat, which I didn't give a shit about, was I don't feel, and spoiler alert, Sam Drake, I don't think he was needed at all.
Yeah.
At all. I just felt like they were like, well, we kind of need to tie this into the Drake brothers, so let's throw Sam in there. And
yeah.
I was like, I just didn't feel like, I mean, he had some comic relief, but for the most part, I was like, why is this motherfucker here? but Claudia Black was fantastic. Laura Bailey, fantastic. Like, I would totally, like, if they were just like, Nathan Drake's retired from here on out, it's all Chloe, Fraser, and Nadine Ross, I'd be like, done. I'm good. Uncharted
yep.
5, bring it. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah. Especially with how 4 ended. I'm perfectly fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is the way to go. I feel like they've established well enough that if they want to do another Uncharted game with any of these kind of side characters, they can do that. They don't need to bring Nate out of retirement. They could do it. So.
Yep. Agree.
Yeah. So and that train sequence, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was cool. That was fun to watch.
I know that, you know, you're kind of like, oh, it's a train, Uncharted 2, but there's a reason why Uncharted 2 is one of the best games ever made.
Yep.
So, all right. So, as we mentioned before, Destiny 2 came out today, finally unlocked. Guardians the world over.
Yes.
Are finally into it. I played it for a couple hours. You played it for a couple hours.
Right.
So, how do you feel about Destiny 2 with the time that you've spent? So far,
so I have been watching videos religiously, trying to get any information I could on it. Didn't understand a lot of the changes. Still don't. I have a better understanding of the weapon system, although I am not happy with the fact that apparently I can't have a sniper rifle and
what
a rocket launcher at the same time.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know about that. I don't know if I want just a scout rifle or two auto rifles. And
I can't tell you, though. Like, I found a scout that was pretty fucking close to a sniper rifle.
Yeah. And, you know, there's going to be – I'm going to get what I want out of this game. Don't get me wrong. But this is just initial impressions. That sort of set me back a little bit. Yeah. On the other hand, I love how you get around in the game now. I love yeah. that. Oh, my God. They fixed
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to orbit, back to the tower, back to orbit,
right.
six, oh, fuck yeah, thank you, Bungie, thank you.
Yeah. yeah, but also just being able to say, okay, what is there to do in this?
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I love the most, can I tell you so far?
Hit
fucking
me.
Seeing when public events are going to happen.
Yes. Yes, sir.
It is so nice.
I've done like six between the two systems already.
It is so nice to just bring up the map and they're like, there's one here, there's one here, there's one here. Now, I don't know about you, but when I fucking rally to the flag, ain't nobody come to help my ass out. I'm fucking shooting servitors in the face by myself.
Yeah, I'm a low-level son bitch, too. So, like, I had help on two out of, I think, the five that I've done. So
yeah.
But I haven't failed yet either, to my credit. So there's that.
I did fail one of them. I did the ones where you have to shoot the servitors and then the little mini servitors
go up
and they I failed one of those.
I only did one of those and I had two guys with me, so that there you go. That was
I won one of those by myself and then the other one I failed by myself. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm digging it. I love the just the little bit that I've played of it. Like there's an actual story. And it's an interesting one. So like I'm digging the cinematics and now the enemy is a little boring in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was an odd choice. Like, I mean, they've definitely added some, so now they have, like, the, what are they called, the wretches or whatever? Like,
yeah, the wretched, fallen, whatever,
The spear warrior ladies, and they have the war dogs.
That was one thing I did question. It's like, I kind of expected another, I thought maybe there'd be a different class or two for Guardians, and I thought there'd be a better enemy variety. And again, I'm 2 hours in. Who knows what is in there? But I'm just like, I just thought we'd go above just Hive, Cabal, and Fallen.
And we saw in the beta, we saw the Vex when we did the Strike That Never Ended.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, right. And obviously the Taken are in there too. So, which I
Oh, are they really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and which is odd because I even tweeted that. I was like, so Taken down.
Yeah.
Oryx, really not for any reason then. They're still here, so I don't
know. Like I tweeted today. So here's me playing, right? So, like, I was like, okay. So this morning when I worked out, I played it because I was like, okay, well, I knew the first mission was the same thing that was in the beta. So I was like, all right, well, I'll just kind of get that out of the way, you know, and that way when the time comes for me to kind of play it proper, I'm actually hitting new material, right?
Right.
And so did the whole thing, and Bane there is like, I was born in the darkness, you know, and you're just like, okay, you know, whatever, and he mooshes you. He doesn't even kick you.
Yeah.
He mooshes you in the face with his foot, and then you go fly at the end, and then you land on the ground, and your ghost is like, Nolan North is all like, I'm hungry, and you're like, okay, whatever. And so they made this big deal, right? Like, you get to the farm, and then they're like, we can't, you know, your ghost is like, we can't resurrect you. You're not immortal anymore. Yeah. We don't have the light. And then you talk to the Cryptarch, and she's like, I can't resurrect you anymore. You're not immortal anymore. You don't have the light. And I was like, oh, shit, like, this is some serious business.
Right.
This isn't Darkness Zone shit. This is like, if I die, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to, like, wipe my character? Are you gonna, like, am I
going
to start the fucking game all over? Like, I can't be resurrected. Holy shit. And then I died, and they're like, plus X to respawn. I came back and he's like, what the fuck? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You, like, I don't understand. What do you mean when you tell me you can't resurrect me? What does that mean for me as a player, like, as I'm getting in these fights? Because up until that point, I was, like, careful as shit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, I got to hide behind every rock. I can't punch these dogs in the face because I can't be resurrected. And then they're just like, oh, no, you just come right back. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? Like, what is – I want to be like, what does resurrection mean to you? Because to me, it means if I die, I come back to life. And we're on different pages here. Like and they made – goddamn, Pam. We may have a gap in between.
Come on, Pam.
Yeah, so you get a helicopter, and then you run to the helicopter. You fly as high as you can go, and then you fly to the mausoleum. You lower altitude until the missiles lock on, and then you jump out of the helicopter. And you shoot down to the steps, and then you just waltz in like,
that's genius.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that is genius. That is so not what I did.
Yeah. Second time, a helicopter got blown out of the water, and I was like driving. Then when you get to the big bridge, I was like, oh, shit, I remember there's a helicopter here. I just fucking got out of my car, ran to the chopper. And my guys were like, you go ahead. I was like, bitch, I didn't ask. And
I'm already gone.
Yep, pretty much.
So, well, unfortunately, it looks like Pamela crashed, which means we might need to institute a multi... I might have to bring another computer into this whole thing and record on it. So, I don't know... We may have lost some, so I apologize, folks, if you're just like, hey, what the fuck are you talking about? Hopefully it was Wildlands talk and not Destiny. I mean, next show, we'll have more Destiny to talk about. I don't know about you. I saw, John was on, some fucking moon of Saturn, and I'm like, I'm still on Earth.
On the Xbox, I've played a little longer. I've done one more mission than you and I had talked about that we did it on PS4, and I unlocked the next area. So
I haven't even unlocked it at all. Between the story missions, the adventures, and that shit, I've just been running around on Earth.
Oh, yeah. I still got plenty of shit to do on Earth, but the game didn't notify me that there was another area that I could move on to.
Okay. And, I mean, I do like the fact that they have made it clearer how much stuff there is to do, you know, that there's these little side missions you can do, and they give you, and I mean, it seems like, I don't know if they continue, I got enough tokens to give to the guy to get the rep fully up, so maybe there won't be more adventures, who knows,
right?
I don't know, but I do like the fact that once you, it's not just, okay, you're on Earth, here's another story,
right?
You know, there's some kind of shit to do on the side, and it ties into what you're doing with the story, but not, you know, as a story mission itself. So,
and it explains to you that it's there, which the first game did not.
Right. You bring up your map, and they're like, hey, here's an icon, and you go there, and there's shit to do. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I said that the one first impression I read, that's my favorite one. It was like my initial impression of Destiny 2. It's Destiny without all the bullshit.
Yeah, I read something that said they felt like it was an apology. Somebody said that they were in the middle of a mission and their internet cut out, and when they came back in, they were still it just resumed their mid-mission checkpoint.
Oh, wow. And
I was like, oh, shit. And that's sad. Damn. That in the year of our Lord, 2017, we have to be we drop on our knees and are like, praise Jesus, mid-mission checkpoints. But there it is. So next show will definitely have I got good reviews. I've been playing Mario Rabbids on the Switch, which is a fucking great game. We could talk about it more next show. But I bought it in part because I was like, I am concerned that if I play Destiny 2 like I played Destiny, it'll be 4 days and then I'll be done. And I'll just be what is there to do? And I don't want that. Already I can feel like that's not going to be the case. But
yeah, I don't think so.
I was like, okay, I do to a certain degree kind of want to temper how much time I spend with it so that I don't do everything immediately. But I don't.
Well, still do just one character too, though, right?
I do one character, one system. Not like you, where you're like shit. Right. I got
Excel
spreadsheets. You're panicking. You're like, fuck. Shit.
I got a lot of work to do already.
Yeah, I don't know how you could do that. Honestly, I don't. I mean, I'm tempted. Okay. Last thing, because we probably should wrap it up. That vision that you have, that was some fucking airbrushed on the side of a van shit, right? Like, you would buy that. You'd buy that shit with a dream catcher, and that shit would be on a T-shirt with a Native American guy, right, holding a fat. Like, that was some. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Fucking peyote fueled, you know.
It's like Young Guns. They're in the spirit world.
Because I was like, oh, okay. You know, because they do the whole mission. Then they're like, Destiny 2. And I'm like, oh, all right, I'm hurt. And then they do the spear and the shield. I was like, what the fuck? Like, if I see a Native American guy crying because there's litter, I'm out.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Shut it down.
So I am curious though to jump into multiplayer. I did see at the farm, you know, Shax is like, hey, be in two multiplayer matches, and I was like, oh, I could do multiplayer. I could do two. Yeah, and then this motherfucker ran past me. I'd already been playing for a half an hour. He was level 15. I was like, oh, all right, never mind.
Yeah, never mind. Scratch that.
So next show, we'll definitely have a lot more Destiny talk, and then we'll be able to talk.
Yes.
And then whatever else, you know, rolls around between now.
That's probably enough for
that's
1 hour.
Enough right there, absolutely. So for myself and Mitch, thank you very much. This has been episode 30. And then make sure if you go to dividedbywerewolves.podbean.com, that's where the comments of the show will show up, and I'll make sure to put all the Italian horror links in there, so that way you can spread the word and hopefully win yourself some cool horror material while keeping Thought of James out there as well. So for myself and Mitch, again, thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really appreciate it, and we will do this again in the next couple weeks. So good night, and have a good evening.